93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It was jubilant scenes once again for the Blues in the EFL Trophy.
Great save, still there possibly, and into the back of the net. Flint swivels and scores his first senior goal for Portsmouth.
The young guns certainly put on an impressive display at the weekend against Premier League Academy opposition, but one man who dominated the scoring was makeshift captain Ellis Harrison, who bagged another cup brace.
Lovely ball, Harrison, lovely finish, really well worked Portsmouth goal.
Pompey's place in the knockout stages has all been but confirmed now, but attention finally turns this week to League One football. You wait 17 days for a league fixture and two come along in the space of just four. Typical, eh? Burton Albion visit PO4 tomorrow evening before Kenny Jackett takes his side to surprise package Wycombe Wanderers on Saturday afternoon. What is the start of a tough month of fixtures coming up for the Blues? Do you think it's time to give some of the youth players a chance in the league? Has Ellis Harrison earned himself a start tomorrow evening? And what does the future hold for Brett Pittman? Get involved between now and 7pm. 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. It's time now to strap in, stick the kettle on and keep it 93.7 for the Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome to this evening's Football Hour, live as always here on the only radio station that is passionately Pompey, Express FM. We are sponsored this season by the guys and girls over at Stagecoach Buses. Find out more on what they have to offer now by visiting stagecoach.co.uk. So let's start off with tonight's show by going back to 12:30 Saturday lunchtime as Pompey welcome Norwich City under-21s to Fratton Park in the second match of this season's group stage of the EFL Trophy.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The sun is shining at Fratton Park. It's a Saturday and there's a match here. But perhaps not the levels of excitement as you might imagine. And expectations ahead of a game on a Saturday afternoon at Fratton Park. Pompey immediately go long and it's headed out of play into the vacant north stand in the sunshine on the far side. And one of the ball boys has to scamper across and manage to find the football located in the empty seats in row two. Now that's good interchange. And Pompey through Maloney down the right across looking to the far post. Back across goal. Harrison over the bar. Good defending in the end from Jones, who was in there. Lovely interchange from this youthful Pompey front three. Corner. Long diagonal ball sent forward for Portsmouth towards the edge of the area. Bolton still forward. Can't win the header, but Bolton will have it. Plays it to Flint. Lays it off for Cannon. Thought about the shot. Instead goes left to Teggart. Chance to deliver. Stood up towards the far post. Headed back across. Goal. Harrison into the back of the net. And Portsmouth have taken the lead. It's Portsmouth 1, Norwich 0. The Northern Irish youngster on the left-hand side will bring it up to halfway and beyond for Pompey. It's a good run from Teggart. He's still going. And still going, Teggart, and trying to come towards the penalty area. He's gone 70 yards and then tries to cross it. And it's blocked by Jones. Throw it. And that's a really clever ball forward by Norwich. And Adset has got space outside the penalty area. Really, really good challenge from Hancock to win the ball back to Portsmouth and snuff out the danger. And now Portsmouth might be able to break forward because Teggart has got space down the left-hand side. Teggart putting the ball down and running. Harrison to aim from the middle. Lost it towards him at the far post. Back across goal. Nodded. Great save. Still there possibly. And into the back of the net. Flint swivels and scores his first senior goal for Portsmouth. And he doubles Portsmouth's lead before half-time. Pompey 2, Norwich 0. Walks just inside the centre circle in Norwich territory. Plays it forward to Cannon. Nice interchange. Flint trying to get Harrison in. Lovely ball. Harrison, lovely finish. Really well worked Portsmouth. Portsmouth goal. Brilliantly set up by Flint and wonderfully taken by Harrison, and that's got the fans on their feet. It's Portsmouth 3, Norwich under 21s now. Into the penalty area, all terrible touch from Raggan, and Norwich are going to score. Fine finish in the end. Smashed into the net from the substitute Tom Scully. But what is Raggett doing? And Walks is saying, why didn't you just clear it forward? Fine strike from Scully into the top corner. Portsmouth 3, Norwich under 21's 1. Free kick stood up towards the far post. Harrison header saved. Maybe a chance for a hat-trick. Williams finds Marquis, left-footed shot, another save from Mayer, the goalkeeper. Didn't quite catch it, Marquis. Harrison to close on the edge of the area. Close, drills one just over the bar. Goal kick. He needs it to be awkward or three men in the way. Well, it was the final significant action of the game, that shot from Ben Close. Portsmouth have won here by 3-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
They've just heard the highlights of the Blues' 3-1 victory over academy side Norwich in the EFL Trophy at the weekend, a game which saw a handful of Pompey youngsters shine in the South Coast sun. Following the game, Andy Moon spoke to assistant manager Joe Gallen on the touchline.
Joe, first of all, that looked relatively comfortable. How did you assess that one?
I thought relatively comfortable, yeah, if I'm honest. I understand when a team comes and the 23 teams come, they play some eye-catching football in the middle of the park, but we always think they don't create too many chances, and the idea is to score goals. And if they're not creating too many chances, then, as I thought they didn't, then I thought that we did, and I thought that we looked pretty potent attacking-wise, and I did think we were going to score a few more than we did. But we scored some good goals. I thought it was pretty comfortable in the end, yes.
It is different facing a team like that, though, because no one else in League One is going to play the ball out from their penalty box in quite the same way.
No, and these clubs that we're playing against, these Premier League clubs, they're under 23s, this total development. And so they're trying to develop players for their for the future. And so they have a development style of play, whereas we're at the results part of the world and the results part of the league, and so it's just results is key for us. But again, for us, we try and have a balance between some short passing, and we have a balance between short passing and long passing. When you play these 23 teams, it just seems it's all short, but that's the development style of the development style of play that these clubs adopt.
How do you sum up Teggart, Flint and Maloney, the three youngsters playing behind Harrison today?
Good. They played more than good, actually, and obviously Teggart played showed a lot of pace and acceleration out on the left hand side. A couple of times they picked the ball up and just ate up 20 or so yards pretty quickly, and then had the composure then to deliver accurate crosses into the box. So we're very pleased, because finding left-footed wide left players with pace is very difficult. We've always been looking for that since we've been here, but there's just very few that don't quite exist for whatever reason. So if we have one in our youth team and developing him, then that's, you know, that's a good sign. I thought he showed very good signs today and put in a very good performance on the ball. Leon played in the previous fixture, leasing.com fixture against Crawley, and played well, and he played well. Who else was there? And Flint scored. And Josh Flint scored. Come on, you asked me about him as well.
Yeah, and Josh Flint.
Yeah, Josh Flint scored and played well. He's got a good brain, Josh, and he's a left-footed player again. But I'm very pleased that he scored a goal.
What more do they need to do to make that jump up to be sort of battling in for a place in the first team?
I think they've got quite... I think we have a lot of attacking options at the moment. We have an awful amount of attacking, which is really good. And we've managed to progress the last few years here, player-wise, and improve the squad, and in particular in the attacking areas of the pitch. You know, you can ask about Ryan Williams in a minute, but Ryan Williams is back. We've got Marcus Harness, we've got Ellis, we've got Brett, we've got John Marquis, Gareth Evans has played out on the left hand side, we've got Ronan, I'm going to forget people now, we've got so many high quality League One players to play in those four attacking positions, that those lads, of course they've got to try and get over them. That's going to be quite tough at the moment, but they're still developing. They've still got the youth team, probably go out on loan and get some games at some stage, getting men's football, Saturday afternoon football, I call it, 3 o'clock, needs to start playing in men's football, because they probably look like they're past the youth team on today's performance. Need to get against men week in, week out.
Let's talk about Ryan Williams then. Good that he's finally managed to get himself out on the pitch after that frustrating start.
Yeah, of course, and got injured pretty early on, but again, it's a very confident person, very confident player, played very well last year in the Championship for Rotherham, which was a tough season for Rotherham, but he stood out for them. Plays up on the right hand side, got a lot of speed, got a lot of pace, got a lot of experience, and we're very pleased to have him back. Good personality to have around. We're pretty excited now to watch him. He'll be definitely in the squad now for Tuesday night against Burton, which, you know, Burton Tuesday night is a big game for us, and we need to turn it into a really big game. Our performance needs to bring the crowd into play. We're going to need our supporters on the night really helping us and encouraging us, as always, they always do, in order for us to beat Burton and to get our season going in the league.
Just finally, Brett Pittman was doing the old centre forwards trick of looking back at the bench between every few steps warming up. He obviously didn't get on, but I'd imagine he's frustrated. It's difficult for people like him when they can't get minutes.
Yes, but just, you know, maybe you'd be asking me a different question on Tuesday night.
So he's still there in contention?
He's very much in contention, very, very much so.
Joe Gallen there voicing his thoughts after Saturday's win over the Norwich under-21s, which all but sealed the Blues' place in the knockout stages of the EFL Trophy. OK, as ever, I have two Pompey fans in the studio with me this evening, raring and ready to have their views heard, so let's bring them in. First of all, Sam Stone, great to have you back along for tonight's show.
Good evening, Jake.
Good evening, and alongside Sam, Ivan Proferro. Ivan, welcome back.
Hello, mate. Thanks for having me.
As always, a pleasure. Something that Joe Gallen said there in his post-match interview of Andy Moon about Brett Pittman I want to touch on first of all. He was asked about the striker not getting any minutes at the weekend. The assistant boss replied with, maybe you'll be asking me a different question on Tuesday night. A real head-scratcher of an answer there, Ivan. And one that leads you to believe, really, that Brett will be playing a part tomorrow evening against Burton.
Yeah, if you're going to go on what Gallen said, it does sound like he's at least going to make the bench. I'd like to see it. I mean, especially since the armband situation has gone on, I'd just like to see him back out on the pitch. You know? He's a good player. He's proven it at a higher level than League One. I mean, there's no reason why he wouldn't make an impact.
Another game in the EFL Trophy, perhaps not the games we really care too much about winning in comparison to the league, Sam, but wins are wins, and it's good to see the young players take their chance as well too.
Yeah, and all three of them, especially those front three playing behind Harrison, they were excellent. That Tegger on the left-hand side, we were kind of astonished at his pace down that left-hand side. He was leaving the defenders for dead. Maloney as well, I thought he was excellent against Crawley, struggled a little bit on Saturday, but still looks a very promising player. And then Flint, who picked up some really nice positions, kind of a classical number 10. Mm-hmm. And he said that last goal was a brilliant team goal, and I think he got the assist for that. So yeah, it's looking promising for the future, yeah.
Ellis Harrison was the captain at the weekend, Ivan, and he put in a leader's performance, really. I'd find it odd if he's not involved tomorrow evening, personally.
Yeah, and I think the fact he had the armband says quite a lot about the trust he has in the rest of the squad and the coaches. I mean, he's impressed every time he's played, I think. It would be harsh to leave him out.
Sam, you were there on Saturday. We saw Ollie Hawkins back in defence. How did you rate his game back in the back four?
It's tough when you're playing against these Premier League sides, these under-23 sides, because they knock the ball around really nicely. You've got a distinct style of play, but they often struggle when it gets to kind of offensive areas. They lack a bit of potency, so it's hard to kind of judge Hawkins playing against that. But again, he looks solid. Every time he's played centre-half, he's looked very solid. Raggett, obviously, has question marks over him. Bolton, I thought, was excellent in that right back role. But yeah, it's good to see Hawkins back, and it's another option in centre half where we have struggled a little bit towards the start of the season, so it'll be good to see him potentially get a place in there.
Sam and Ivan with their quick opinions on the recent events at Fratton Park, but now we want to hear from you back home. Could this season see the emergence of one of Pompey's young guns? Could Kenny Jackett be telling porcupines in regards to Marcus Harness's injury? If not, who would you like to see start in his place tomorrow evening? And who would you like to see start in defence against Burton Albion? You can get involved all the usual ways. Start your text with the word express. Send those to 81400, starting your messages with the word express, of course. Email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at @ExpressFM. Stay tuned now, though. Get your thoughts across to us while we go for a quick break. Let us know your score predictions too, and join us again in just a few moments' time here on the Monday Football Hour on ExpressFM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 ExpressFM.
Good evening and welcome back to the Monday Football Hour, sponsored by Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at a discounted price of just £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store on Android. Okay, so Pompey were 3-1 winners over the Norwich City under-21s in the EFL Trophy group stage game on Saturday lunchtime. That was their second game in the tournament, and the third and final game will come on the Tuesday, the 8th of October, away to Oxford United, who are currently in second with 3 points after just one game, which leaves Pompey top on 6 points and a plus three goal difference. And it looks as though the Blues will be going straight through to the knockout stages without a fuss. And hopefully, Ivan, retaining that elusive EFL Trophy title.
We all remember how well the final went last year, so it's always a good day out, and it's, you know, give you something to actually compete for and hopefully win it.
You'd rather be winning than losing, no matter what the competition. Seeing some comments in regards to the team lineup on Saturday, Sam, and Kenny Jacket went for, you know, a blend really of youthful players and a couple of experienced heads in there as well. People on social media, some saying it's just a trophy game, who cares about it. Some saying, one comment I've seen, this lineup confirms to me that Jacket has lost the plot. And it just seems to me that you can't really win.
Well,
you know, you go for a fully strong lineup, and you know, you're going to look ahead to Tuesday and think, well, you're going to be wanting rest players for that game. But then if you go for a weak lineup, you then get ridiculed for not taking it too seriously.
Well, yeah, it's a tough one. But then if he plays our strongest team, say John Marcus plays up front, and he gets an injury and he's out for 6 months, that's almost our main striker out for that match. Imagine the stick Jacket would get then.
Yeah.
For me, it's a really good environment, especially these group stage games, for the young players to kind of play. It's a very low pressure environment, so it's good for them to get minutes, and I can see why he did it. And plus, we've got four games coming up, yeah. Saturday, Tuesday, and one of them being a very, very big game. So I can see why he did it, and there's no reason why he should have played his strongest team on Saturday.
Let's go through the goals on Saturday lunchtime, Ben. And first of all, Ellis Harrison, Pompey's captain, put the Blues 1-0 up.
Flint lays it off for Cannon, thought about the shot, instead goes left to Teggart, chance to deliver, stood up towards the far post, headed back across, goal, Harrison into the back of the net, and Portsmouth have taken the lead.
Ellis Harrison with that goal, Ivan, assisted technically by Leon Maloney with a header back into the box. But I believe it was Owen Teggart on the left-hand side who delivered the initial ball into the box. And what a ball it was, and what a player he proved to be at the weekend.
I don't think he's had a poor game at all yet. He's delivered every single time. Obviously, there is a big difference between playing in front of, 3,000 yeah. people at Fratton Park than 18,000 in a crucial league game. But you can't fault him at all so far. I mean, he's been consistent and he's looked exciting.
And then the second goal, right before half-time, came courtesy of young player Josh Flint.
Teggart putting the ball down and running. Harrison to aim from the middle, lofted towards him at the far post. Back across goal, nodded, great save, still there possibly, and into the back of the net. Flint swivels and scores his first senior goal for Portsmouth, and he doubles Portsmouth's lead before half-time.
Congratulations to Josh Flint for bagging his first senior goal for Pompey. A good goal, a well-worked goal, Sam, but also a strange one because it was almost a carbon copy of that opener.
Yeah, it was similar, the ball coming across. Harrison again winning the header, who must be said, his heading ability is very, very impressive. He wins pretty much every header. But it was a great finish. The keeper made a good save initially, and then for him to kind of spin and whip it in off the post, it was a really good finish. As I said, he looked really neat and tidy playing that kind of number 10, played some nice balls through, and he got himself in that goal-scoring position as well, so...
And then the half-time mark came, and on the 60th minute, it was Ellis Harrison again who bagged his second goal of the game to make it 3-0 to Pompey. If my mouse starts working, it's not working. My mouse is going on an absolute attack on the computer screen. But Ellis Harrison made it 3-0, Sam. And as Ivan's mentioned, what a player he's proven to be. And as you mentioned as well, his heading ability as well. This one was with his right foot. But he's got that confidence and that skill to take it past the defender, one-on-one with a keeper, and coolly place it into the bottom corner of the net.
Yeah, and every time I've watched him this season, I have been really impressed. I feel he's been a bit unlucky with the kind of the options we've got attacking-wise, which is why he hasn't kind of got that opportunity playing at number 9 yet. But I do feel he'll be involved tomorrow, potentially on the right hand side, because he's got that ability to play along any of those front four positions. He runs the lines really well, he's physical, wins headers, and he brings other people into play. And that's something it's a little bit like Ollie Hawkins last season. He kind of would bring other people into play, but it looks like Harrison's a bit more mobile. So yeah, I'm excited to see him kind of get a chance from the outset.
Let's actually listen to that goal now, shall we?
Cannon, nice interchange. Flint trying to get Harrison in. Lovely ball. Harrison, lovely finish. Really well worked Portsmouth goal. Brilliantly set up by Flint and wonderfully taken by Harrison. And that's got the fans on their feet.
Now, the fourth and final goal of the game came courtesy of Thomas Scully just 5 minutes after coming off the bench for the Norwich City under-21s. He was the goal scorer in last week's game against Oxford United in their defeat. Question marks over what Sean Raggett was doing here, guys. Let's take a listen.
Into the penalty area. Oh, terrible touch from Raggett, and Norwich are going to score. Fine finish in the end. Smashed into the net from the substitute, Tom Scully. But what is Raggett doing?
See the highlights, Ivan, of that goal. It was a mistake from Sean Raggett. I think just purely just a heavy touch from him.
I think that's just a lapse of concentration. You're 3-0 up. I think that's all it was. He had a solid game. Other than that, I don't feel there's anything you really need to go more in depth to. I just think it was a poor touch and he got punished for it.
Seeing some comments again on social media, Sam, about Sean Raggett and that goal. It was brilliantly finished from Tom Scully to put it into that top corner. But comments on social media saying, is Sean Raggett a professional footballer? Is he ready to play for Pompey? After one mistake. And I kind of think it's a bit unjust, especially towards the end of last season. There was a lot of stick towards Christian Burgess, and I don't believe in this hatred towards any player. Constructively criticise any player as you wish. If players make mistakes, they all put their hands up and may admit it. But there's so many people who like to give players like Christian Burgess second, third, and fourth chances after a couple of mistakes, which fair enough. But then Sean Raggett comes in, he makes one, and suddenly people want him out of the club.
Well, you mentioned Burgess there, but how good was he after he made those mistakes? He was brilliant towards the end of the season, so you've got to give him a chance. And Sean Raggett, at Lincoln, he was excellent at Lincoln, by all accounts, and then Norwich seemed to rate him very highly. So it's just it's a new place for him, new club, out on loan potentially for the first time in his career. So he's got a people have got to give him a chance. It's another option at centre half, so he looks like he can definitely get stuck in, and maybe just that kind of gelling in period, give him a bit of time. But yeah, there shouldn't be any, as you said, constructive criticism, but yeah, kind of give him a break for the minute.
James Bolton made his return on Saturday. Sam, I'll come to you. You were at the game. What did you make of his first game back from injury?
Well, yeah, he played the Crawley game as well, and I was very impressed with him there. I said to my dad, I was like, I'm very, very impressed with him. He's just a solid kind of right back. He doesn't like to venture forward. Quite similar to Nathan Thompson in that sense. But I do like him. He's solid, gets his foot in, doesn't get dribbled past very often. And also, yes, on Saturday, it's obviously there's only 3,000 people, so you can hear the players a little bit more. And he's very, very vocal. And that's something good to another leader amongst our ranks, maybe.
Another player who made his return, Ivan, Ryan Williams, the Australian winger. It really gives Kenny Jackett a bit of a selection headache now, going into what is really a crucial period of the season. Burton at home tomorrow evening, Wickham away on Saturday, and obviously that cup game next Tuesday. You've got players like Ryan Williams, you've got Ronan Curtis, Marcus Harness hopefully will be back from injury sometime soon, and you've got Leon Maloney, Owen Teggart, down in the youth, the academy, playing well when given their opportunity. So it really is anyone's guess as to who will be playing those positions over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's the position you want to be in. It's you look at the midfield options and people going forward, you want that kind of selection headache. I feel like that's the positive out of the whole squad we've got. The midfield and going forward is the best thing we have. I feel like the defence is still the only thing we might have question marks about. Not necessarily that they're good enough, I believe they will be, but just who you play and how, which situation you go in.
Sam, news broke about a week and a half ago of Kenny Jackett stripping the captaincy off of Brett Pittman and Gareth Evans, vice-captain, and changing it to Tom Naylor and Lee Brown. Does the decision to give that title to Lee Brown, the vice-captaincy, kind of hint towards to you the fact that Brandon Housedruck will not be considered as a first choice left back when he returns? Because I think Brandon's been playing really well in that position. But judging by that, maybe Lee Brown will just come straight back into the side.
I agree with you. I think Housedruck's been excellent. I think he deserves to keep his place. But then I feel that maybe Brown's been given that position. He is a leader. We know that from his time at Bristol Rovers. People mentioned he's a leader there. And he's a leader amongst this kind of group of players as well. So you could see why he's been given it as kind of a mantle for people to look up at him. I don't think necessarily Lee Brown will walk straight back into the side. I feel that Hamstrup's earned his place there. And for me, he's looked one of our best performers at this initial start of the season. So, yeah, I don't think that will necessarily be the case.
We are fast approaching the halfway mark of this evening's show, which means you have just short of 30 minutes to get your thoughts and questions across to the panel this evening. Should Kenny Jackett be handing league opportunity to some of the younger members of the squad? Would you like to see who would you like to see start tomorrow's game against Burton Albion, both up front and in defence? And were you impressed with Ollie Hawkins' return as a centre-back? Start your text with the word express, send most 81400 and start them off with the word express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. After the break, we'll be taking a quick look at how our local non-league sides got on at the weekend, as well as talking briefly about the Pompey women and continuing the look ahead to the tough run of games for the Blues too. Stay tuned then, we'll be back in just a few moments for this Monday edition of the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome back for this evening to the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored by Stagecoach across the South Coast, who provide cheap, reliable and frequent fares across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth. Find out more information on routes, timetables and more over at stagecoach.co.uk. Before we continue with the Blues discussion and begin to look forward to the next league game, let's find out the weekend results of our local sides in the lower realms of the footballing ladder, as well as looking at where they are playing this week. In the National League South at the weekend, Port Doswell's Havant Waterlooville finally lost their unbeaten record with a 3-1 home defeat to Braintree Town. That first league defeat of the season leaves the Hawks in third place and 8 points behind leaders Wealdstone, who are the early pace setters in the division. Pompey will be sending a squad to Wesley Park on Wednesday evening for the first match in this season's Hampshire Senior Cup. Elsewhere in the FA Vars second round of qualifying, all three of Fareham Town, AFC Portchester and Petersfield Town faced a ties away from home. Fareham out of the competition in dramatic circumstances, losing 3-2 at East Cowes Victoria thanks to a 99th minute winner from the hosts. AFC Portchester were on the right side of a 3-2 scoreline, dumping Hive and Dibden out on their own turf, while Petersfield Town were held to a 2-2 draw after extra time at Sherborne Town, so they will both have to replay their match at the Shorefix Home Improvement Stadium on Tuesday evening. That's a 7:45 kickoff. Also on Saturday afternoon, goals from Callum Dart and Jason Parrish saw Baffin's Milton Rovers claim a 2-0 victory at Test Park, home of Solent University in the Wessex Premier Division. In the Wessex League Division 1, the United Services of Portsmouth travelled to Andover Town and ran out 5-0 winners, having been 3-0 up at half-time. Gosport Borough fell to a last-minute defeat at Truro City in the Evo Stick Southern Premier League, the home side winning that 1-0. And finally, Bognor Regis went to East Tyrwhitt United in the Isthmian League and were defeated 3-0. As mentioned, Petersfield hosts Sherborne in the FA Vars second round of qualifying replay on Tuesday night. Elsewhere, there is a whole host of second round fixtures in the Hampshire Senior Cup for our local sides this week. AFC Portchester visit AFC Totten, Baffin's Milton Rovers host Leamington Town at the PMC Stadium, while Gosport play East Cowes Victoria and Fareham go to Hartley Wintney. And the FA Vars first round fixtures were drawn earlier today. If they can overcome Sherborne in tomorrow's replay, then Petersfield Town will be travelling to Bournemouth, while AFC Portchester will be playing Cullerton Rangers away from home. These two ties will be played at 3 p.m. on Saturday the 12th of October. Meanwhile, the Wessex League Cup third round draw has also been made. Baffin's Milton Rovers will play host to the winners of a game between Brockenhurst and East Cowes Victoria. Petersfield Town will be going to Hamble Club, but they will first have to see off Amesbury Town to get there. Elsewhere, the United Services of Portsmouth will be travelling to either Hamworthy United or Alresford Town. These games will be played on either the 5th or the 6th of November. All of this week's midweek games kick off at 7:45 on Tuesday evening, and the results of those, as well as today's FA Vars first round and the Wessex League Cup third round draws, will all be discussed on Over the White Line on Wednesday evening with non-league guru Henry Deacon. You can catch him right here live from 6 p.m. on Express FM. Some mixed results then regarding our featured non-league teams at the weekend, but one big positive result on Sunday came from the PMC Stadium, home of Baffin's Milton Rovers, of course, but also the Pompey women. They were at home this weekend, so let's take a look at how they came out of their cup game against Gillingham. Yesterday, Jay Sadler saw his side enter the hat for the draw for the first round proper of the National League Cup, but they didn't make it easy for themselves when Gillingham came to town. A cagey first half saw the scores level 0-0 at the break, but it was after the restart that the game came to life. Laura Ingram opened the scoring after the Jills goalkeeper had her clearance bounce off the Pompey woman and into the back of her net to make it 1-0. Despite a promising start to the second 45, the Blues managed to surrender their lead to find themselves 2-1 down after just 63 minutes. A penalty converted by Manning on the hour mark was quickly followed by a second for the visitors just 3 minutes later, leaving Pompey close to exiting the competition very early on. With just 15 minutes of normal time remaining, Pompey found an equaliser, having been knocking on the door continuously after going behind. Jade Widows was the goal on target on the 76th minute, courtesy of a superb 25-yard curler. Towards the latter stages of the game, the Blues continued to push for a winner, but three late attempts from Charmaine True weren't good enough to bag a third, having two of her shots saved and one cannoned off the post. The extra time it went then, and Charmaine True was yet again denied by the visiting keeper, who was doing well to deny Pompey a win. But she could only hold out for so long, and with penalty shootout looking likely to separate the two sides, Charmaine True was finally rewarded with a goal for her efforts, poking one home after a scramble in the visiting box with just 7 minutes of the game remaining. Jay Sadler's side go into a first round proper of the National League Cup now and have been rewarded with a few days to rest, with no midweek fixture to play out this week. There you are then, a roundup of the games involving our local non-league sides and the Pompey women too. Shout out this evening as well to the Pompey Academy, who ran out winners in an 11-goal thriller at the weekend. 6-5 the scoreline against Exeter City at the training ground. What a game that must have been. The Blues did have to battle back from 2-0 and 3-1 down, but eventually ran out winners. Goals from Alfie Stanley, Charlie Bell, an own goal, and Harrison Brook bad Pompey's four to put them ahead before Jack Stafford replied for the Grecians to make it 4-4. Brook then found the top corner to double his personal tally, and again the visitors hit back. It was 5-5 this time through Cech Diabate, but then Stanley made sure of the 3 points by racing on to a pass, rounding the keeper and slotting home from a tight angle to make it 6-5, and Pompey remained top of the table. We mentioned earlier, Sam, about the positive futures that, you know, it looks ahead for, you know, the Pompey players and the players coming through the academy, not only for those playing on Saturday against Norwich under 21s, but for the actual academy as well, in their division, they're on fire.
Well, yeah, they're top of the table, aren't they? So, yeah, it is looking good. And it, going back to Saturday as well, it's encouraging that we've kind of, we had academy players playing against a Premier League academy players.
Yeah.
And they looked better than most of them are playing. So it is encouraging. It's good to see. And it's the future. It's a profitable way for the club to kind of make sure they're stable for the future. So, yeah, it does look good.
Going back to the discussion about the Pompey men's, and we've got a tweet in from Jack Hancock on Twitter, regular listener to Pompey Live and the Football Hour. He changed his name to the hashtag Ellis Harrison Appreciation Society.
I saw that.
Fair enough. He says, Hawkins at centre-back looked assured. Walks at centre-mid looked assured. Youngsters all impressed. Wouldn't chuck Williams in, would rather start Maloney or Teggart on Tuesday. And of course, Ellis Harrison needs to start. Hashtag Ellis Harrison Appreciation Society. I mentioned it briefly earlier, Ivan, perhaps about Leon Maloney, maybe Owen Teggart being given a chance in the league for the upcoming games. But it would be a bold move from Kenny Jackett to make that decision. What are your thoughts? Would you go for Williams, or would you like to see one of these players come in?
It's a strange one, yeah, because I remember when the Eisners came in, and one of the first things that actually stuck with me was the Michael Eisner came out and said he wanted to invest in the youth academy. And I think we all sort of go, oh yeah, of course you do. That's the usual thing a new owner does. They go in. If they are actually going to be that good, like the show the other night, why not? Why not give them? I mean, especially if there are gaps in the squad as well. They're filling for the players who have come through our own academy. I mean, it's self-sufficient and it's great, really.
Sam?
For me, I'd much rather Williams start, the player he played first the odd games for Rotherham in the Championship and was one of their standout players. I feel that, yeah, it's great, these youth players, but you can see a difference between, you know, those Williams, Andy Cannon in the midfield. You can see there's a difference between them and these younger players. It's a professionalism. There's a kind of game management side to it as well. And for me, yeah, it's great for the future, but we've got players like Williams, who's 25. He's played in the Championship. He knows that level. I feel that we've got that quality. We may as well use it.
Speaking of Ryan Williams, who would have thought that this game against Southampton next Tuesday night, we'd have a player in our ranks who was actually involved, well, not involved, but within the squad the last time the two sides met 7.5 years ago. Ryan Williams was actually at Pompey before he went on to prepare his career further up divisions, obviously with Pompey going down to League One that season. A text in from Carol on Hailing Island. Jake, why is it at present Pompey are the only team that have played in the Leasing.com trophy? The papers don't even mention the game except the news. Carroll and Hayden Ireland, and I think that's really because Saturday's game against Norwich was originally going to be the game away to Bury in the league. That was obviously postponed or cancelled due to Bury being kicked out of the division. So I think Kenny Jackett just wanted football on a Saturday, wanted to keep that regular flow of games coming due to, you know, other postponements as well against Rotherham and Southend United. Speaking of that, Ivan, actually, I want to touch on that. Saturday's game, the decision to move this Norwich game forward, it was originally supposed to be played, you know, all the way in November. Are you happy with that decision? Are you happy for Kenny Jackett to have that kind of mentality of just keeping regular football flowing no matter what competition it is, rather than, you know, wait even longer to see the Blues in action?
I think so, because it comes down to momentum. I think it would be different if we started really well, we're winning every game, we're top of the league, mm-hmm. and then go, what's the point in this?
Yeah.
Not that it's pointless, but you have that game that matters.
You want to preserve your energy.
Yeah, I think as we've started, it's not been great, and we still have holes, and we're not entirely sure what our best 11 is. I think it's a perfect time, because you can experiment, and what a better place to do it.
Stephen Jerome on emails. He says, "Hi guys, I was really impressed with what I saw from our young players on Saturday. I thought Teggett had a good game. What a fantastic run down the left to set up a goal. And Josh Flint's goal was brilliant as well. Also, Ellis Harrison put in a good performance with two goals. I think we have a good chance of going all the way in this competition again this season. I know not everyone likes the league trophy competition, but if we do it, we'll be the first club to retain the trophy, and it would be another little bit of history made at Pompey, which would be nice." Steve in Southsea. Speaking of history, and going again forward to this game against Southampton next Tuesday, Sam, the Carabao Cup, the only competition still available to Pompey at this moment in time, but Pompey haven't won. I'm not saying we're going to win it this season, but could you imagine if we did? I've tried to research it over the last kind of week or two as to how many teams, or if any team, has won everything, including, you know, the top division, the FA Cup, the Carabao, you know, the League Cup, the EFL Trophy, all the way down to League Two. I haven't found anything yet. So, could you imagine if Pompey wrote their names in history?
I think
I become the first team to do so.
Yeah. I think probably like most other fans, all I'm fussed about is the game next Tuesday. I couldn't really care if we lost to, I don't know, Fleetwood in the next round if we beat them. But yeah, honestly, it's all on that game. I'm not too bothered about winning the next round, but yeah, it's just on that game for me.
It's time for a third and final breather for tonight's show, after which we'll be back with more of your Blues views and to preview tomorrow evening's return to League One football as Burton Albion make the trip down to the South Coast. And this evening, we're asking for your score predictions back home, as well as your team lineups too. You can get in touch all the usual ways, 81400 on the text, starting with the word Express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, or at expressfm on Twitter. You won't want to miss it. Stay right where you are. We'll be back before too long for the final part of the Monday Football Hour here on 93.7. Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome for the fourth and final time this evening to the Monday Football Hour. This season, the show is sponsored by Stagecoach across the South Coast. They offer student day rider tickets at just £2.50. All you have to do is hop on one of their many buses across the city, show your student ID, and you'll be on your way. You can also purchase your tickets online on the Stagecoach bus app, which you can download on either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store on Android. Okay, before we begin to blabber on any further, let's start off the conclusion of the show with a closer look at this week's opposition, and it's Burton Albion.
We've had to wait 2.5 weeks, but it's finally time to bring League One football back into the equation. It's Burton Albion who are the visitors to Fratton Park for this long-awaited match, which last time ended 2-1 to the Blues back on Easter Friday.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Brewers make the 280-mile round trip to PO4 for this midweek league fixture, which is the Blues' first league fixture at Fratton in 4 weeks. Coventry City were the opponents on that day, and it's safe to say that's a game that won't be remembered for the right reasons.
Manager.
Son of legendary manager Brian Clough, Nigel is the man in the dugout for Burton Albion. The 53-year-old has been in charge of the Brewers for the last 4 years, having returned to Staffordshire in December 2015. He previously managed the club between 1998 and 2009, beginning his managerial career at Burton when they were playing in the Southern Football League Premier Division, Tier 7 of the game.
One to watch.
He may now be close toes reaching 31 years of age, but experienced striker Lucas Akins will be one to look out for if he makes an appearance at Fratton. This is the striker's sixth season at the Pirelli Stadium and has scored 46 goals within that time. His best goal-scoring season came last campaign when he hit 13 successful strikes in 46 appearances.
Top scorer.
24-year-old midfielder Scott Frazier is the leading scorer for this week's opponents, Burton, with three league goals to his name. All three of those league goals for the Scotsman has scored in League One so far this campaign came in the side's 4-2 win at Oxford back in August. Frazier was the hat-trick hero that evening, but hopefully not tomorrow. He also scored in the Brewers' 3-1 EFL Trophy victory over Crewe Alexandra 2 weeks ago.
Current form.
Nigel Clough's side are currently 11th in the League One table, having gained 11 points from their opening seven matches. The Blues sit in 18th, but have two games in hand over this week's opponents, who go into the game 7 places and 6 points above Kenny Jackett's slow starters. Both Pompey and Burton have gone unbeaten in their respective previous 5 fixtures in all competitions, with the Brewers winning 3 and drawing 2, although only one of those victories came in the league. But will it be 0, 1, or 3 points that the Blues are walking away with tomorrow evening?
Mason Jordan there with an in-depth look at Nigel Clough's Burton Albion side, who sit in 11th place and League One at this early stage. Speaking of Burton Albion, writing a bit of research in regards to the Burton Albion, you know, their players to look out for, their strong players, but the players who have scored the most goals from so far this season. One player who would have been involved with that discussion, Ivan, would have been Marcus Harness, but they no longer have him. Some team called Portsmouth nicked him. I think that could be key in Pompey maybe grabbing a win tomorrow, because when we went up there back in Easter when Pompey won 2-1, Matt Clark scoring the last minute winner for the Blues, I thought Marcus Harness was really the only real attacking threat they had to offer against us. So us taking their perhaps main asset, playing well in our own hands.
Yeah, and hopefully we're using to our advantage. I mean, especially they're not going to want to concede to Harness of all players.
Yeah. According to Kenny Jackett, his injury update ahead of tomorrow's game, Gareth Evans is apparently back from injury. He missed Saturday's game with a dead leg. And according to Kenny, Lee Brown and Marcus Harness are both close to returning, but neither will feature against Burton or Wickham. Now, we know, Sam, that Kenny has a tendency to lie about injuries. do you think he could be lying about this one? Most kind of predominantly Marcus Harness, the standout performer for Pompey so far this season in the league, injured a couple of weeks ago, should have been back now. Kenny's now saying he's got another week to wait. Do you think he could perhaps be playing mind games against Burton?
As much as I want him to be, I don't think on this occasion he is. Because I did read earlier on that it's looking like Thursday when he's going to be back in training, so he might even not be around for the Southampton game, and Brown's even later than that. So as much as I'd want him to play, obviously he's been fantastic for us at the start of the season, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Luke Ellis on Twitter says, "We've had 17 days to prepare for our league match tomorrow. Will be interesting to see how we go. Surely there are no excuses for this one." Graham Wilkins on the email says, "Hi all, looking forward to another game under the lights at Fratton Park and hope we can finally kickstart our season in the league. A win is a must as we need to keep on the tails of the leading pack. I'd like to see Maloney start on the wing in place of Curtis, but I doubt if Kenny Jackett will do this, and it'll be the seasoned professionals who take to the pitch on the night. Won't see the Blues at home until the Bolton game due to a holiday, but well done. You've got a holiday. Enjoy it. Not jealous at all. He's got a holiday booked up. Up north. Sorry, before the Saints game was drawn. Okay, perhaps not so jealous anymore. So absolutely gutted about it, but hope to find a pub willing to show the game rather than a rugby match. By the way, I'm predicting 2-1 tomorrow against Burton Albion." Something he mentions there, Ivan, Sam, you both look split on this. Leon Maloney starting tomorrow's match in place of Rodon Curtis. Sam, you shaking your head?
He's been great in these EFL Trophy games, but the words I said there are EFL Trophy games under 3,000 people. There's no pressure. When you've got Williams, you've got Curtis, we've got Harrison, for me it's far too soon.
It's a good time for Ryan Williams to kind of make his comeback and, you know, play well in front of Kenny Jackett, with the spots on the wings really well up for grabs now.
Yeah, and in an ideal world, you've got youth players who are breathing down the necks of the seasoned professionals as well. But I'm with what Sam said. I don't actually think Jackett will drop the actual players that are in the first team consistently, especially as, you know, we haven't looked too convincing so far either.
7 years, 8 months and 6 days after Ryan Williams last put on a Pompey shirt, he made his return on Saturday. Sam, would you like to see him start tomorrow's game, or are you going with Curtis?
I was impressed with him when he came on Saturday. He looked lively. He looks like he's confident, which is what you always like to see, if someone's confident in their own ability, a bit like Curtis. I mean, I would like to see him start, but then he kind of plays on that right wing, so then Harrison's been impressing as well. He's definitely going to be in the squad, which is a good thing, good to see. So maybe on the bench, but I wouldn't be disappointed if he started as well.
Three games in hand on most teams in the league now, Ivan. Two on some, three on others. It's all really due to, you know, the kind of situations at Bury and Bolton as well. Kind of a mixed table at the moment, but, you know, you win those three games and suddenly you're back up into the playoff position. So although there are, you know, perhaps meltdowns, you know, in some places on social media in regards to Pompey's start to the season, it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, no. And what a time to start putting points on the board. We've just got to go through the next couple of days. If we can get a couple of wins, we'll be right back up and they're in the mix.
You don't win or lose anything in September. Okay, in regards to tomorrow's lineup, gents, I'd like to ask about the situation at the back. Now, Ollie Hawkins played on Saturday. Sam played well. Yeah, give him that. Sean Raggett as well. Splitting opinions on some fans. Christian Burgess, a fan favourite. You know, I'm sure a lot of people want to start him tomorrow. Paul Downing, I don't think really has put a foot wrong this season. I think he's been solid. And then, of course, you've got left-back Brandon Houndstrup, we assume will be starting there. Right-back, assuming James Bolton will be starting there. Not too sure on Anton Walkes or really Ross McCrory. It is really down to who plays at centre-back. What partnership are you going for?
Well, yeah, I've written it down here. You pretty much nailed what I would go for. I'd go for Downing and Burgess again. The more they play together, the more they're going to gel, the more understanding they're going to get. But yeah, you mentioned Bolton right back. I'd definitely play him in there. He's a solid option in there.
Another name to throw into the hat, Ivan, Tom Naylor. He's been moved into that centre-back slot a few times recently by Kenny Jackett. And he said that he wants a defensive player as the captain. Can you see him perhaps retaining that place at centre-back tomorrow? Or would you prefer to see him move a little bit further forward back into that midfield position? But then if so, who plays between Close and McCrory?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest decision we're going to have to wait and see for the game tomorrow, because I think going into it, ideally you'd like two out-and-out centre-backs who ideally have played with each other as well and understand each other. It's a tough one. It is a tough one. I would personally stick to having two out-and-out centre-backs.
This is the lineup I've written down just an hour before we start the show this evening. I've gone for Craig McGilvery, Bolton, Naylor, Downing and Houndstrup, with Evans and McCrory in the middle, Ellis Harrison and Ryan Williams on the wings, with Andy Cannon kind of as the number 10, John Marquis up front, with Bass, Burgess, Walkes, Close, Curtis, Pittman and Hawkins. A very attacking bench there. Sam, what are you thinking?
I'd say
in terms of going forward.
Yeah, the one I'd change, probably Evans in the middle. I thought Cannon was excellent in midfield on Saturday. Potentially push him back alongside I put McCrory because it'd probably be Naylor in the middle, yeah. But I'd like to see maybe Pittman playing that 10, and with kind of Cannon and Naylor, or Cannon and McCrory behind him, with Harrison, Curtis and Marquis up front. Yeah.
Speaking of up front, actually, Ivan, Joe Gallen, we mentioned earlier, hinted towards Brett Pittman perhaps making an appearance tomorrow. Ellis Harrison scoring goals recently. John Marquis perhaps not so much. Who are you going for tomorrow? Because I've gone for Marquis up front with Harris on the wing, which he can play.
I'd go exactly the same as that, purely because I think you need to put your faith in where your money mouth is, really, because you've got a club who bought for $2 million up top. You're going to want him to have confidence going through the rest of the league as well. Pittman's already proved it, so if everything does go a bit wrong, he can surely come off the bench and make an impact.
Yeah, make an impact. Okay, time for score predictions now. Pompey versus Burton Albion tomorrow, 17 days after the last league match. Sam Stone, what are you going for?
I'm going to go and stick the boat out and go
3-1. 3-1?
Yeah.
3-1 says Sam. Ivan?
2-1.
2-1. I said 2-0 on Saturday. don't know.
Can't see the clean sheet at the
moment. I'm going to go with 2-1. Bit of an unsettled defence at the moment, isn't it? But no, I think we've got the attack and threat. I think we'll score the goals, and I think we will get one over Burton Albion and hopefully kickstart this league campaign under the Fratton Park floodlights, unlike a couple of weeks ago against Coventry. Okay, there we have it, Ben. Another episode of the Football Hour comes and goes here on Express FM. As ever, I'd like to send my thanks to my two guests for joining me on tonight's show, Sam Stone and Ivan Proferro. You've been fantastic as ever. And we wouldn't be here without the interaction and support of you back home, the Pompey fans. Thanks to each and every one of you for getting involved and listening this evening. Liz Beckett is putting local music, Portsmouth musicians on the map when she takes over next in the studio with a shout live from 7pm this evening, and then she'll be handing over to Jeff and Aid, who are back with a soft rock show from 8 through till 10, where the guys will be joined by Mike Pender, Joe Gillingham and Tony Baker, who are all gigging across the local area with their respective bands as part of a sensational 60s experience. Nathan Jordan will be here bright and early tomorrow morning for the Portsmouth Breakfast Show. He'll be live from 6am through till 10 and will be bringing you great music, latest news, weather, sports and updates on the roads too, as well as the Express Rewind from 9. Russell Hill will be here with a bonus country music show from midday till 3pm in honour of International Country Music Day. He'll have classics from likes of Sarah Darlin, Alan Jackson, Dolly and even Anne-Marie Picerno's Dolly cover too. And then from 7pm, Pompey Live is back for full coverage of Pompey vs Burton Albion, the Blues' first league game in 17 days. Can Kenny Jackett mastermind a real start to this League One campaign? Join us at 7 tomorrow. Until then, have a good day and play up Pompey.
Express FM.
Thanks to our supporters, including Portsmouth College.